Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the Gospel of John, where we've been learning that we as Christians may not be fully accepted in this antagonistic world. And now as we continue our study through the Gospel of John, we find that Jesus will be sending a Comforter, one that proceeds from the Father and will testify of Him. So let's turn to John chapter 15, verse 26, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Now here we are once again. Jesus brings us back to the Holy Spirit. And remember that throughout this portion, part of the instruction that Jesus is giving has to do with the Holy Spirit. He's already talked about the fact that the Spirit is going to come. He's going to be in you. He's going to teach you all things, bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. And now here once again, the Helper, when He comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me. So this is the primary ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to testify to Jesus. And of course, through the apostles, a lot of that testimony was through the miraculous power. And those miraculous things that they did as they went out and preached the gospel, those things were a testimony to Jesus. They were preaching in the name of Jesus, and people were being touched miraculously in the name of Jesus. And so everything was pointing back to His Messiahship. And so He reminds them that that will happen when the Helper comes. But notice He refers to Him as the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. The Spirit of truth. When the Holy Spirit is working, truth is prevailing. Wherever there's deceit, wherever there's falsehood, wherever there's false doctrine, then you can know this. The Holy Spirit is not active. The Holy Spirit isn't present working in that kind of a situation, because He is, by very definition, He is the Spirit of truth, testifying of Jesus. But then He said to them, "And you also will bear witness, because you have been with Me from the beginning." So He's telling them about what's coming in the future. Now remember, at this point, they're still not really sure about what the future does hold. And He's bringing them now to that place where He's going to just put it forth in very plain language to them, the fact that He is going away. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers service to God. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor Me." So Jesus is warning them in advance of the things that will happen. They're going to be put out of the synagogues, which is exactly what happened to them. There would be those that would rise up and persecute them and actually kill them and think they were doing service to God. And who is the great illustration of this truth that Jesus told them would be Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. Because you remember, that's exactly what he was doing. He was thinking he was doing God a service as he was persecuting the Christians. And you remember, he went all throughout Jerusalem wreaking havoc on the church and casting the people into prison and casting the vote against those who were being put to death. And then he says that in his passion, in his zeal, he went to the high priest to get permission because he heard in Damascus there's a group of people meeting, worshiping Jesus. So he says to the high priest, send me there to get them, to arrest them, to bring them back, and we'll cast them into prison. And the high priest said, go, get them. Gave him letters and sent him off. But you know the story. It was on the road to Damascus that Saul of Tarsus was met by Jesus. That light shining brighter than the sun in the middle of the day, and that voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But he thought he was doing God service. He thought he was doing God a favor because he thought these men were truly blasphemers. He thought they were heretics. He thought they were very dangerous. But why did he think that? Jesus answered the question, because they didn't know me or the Father. You see, that's the thing. They really didn't know God. But they had all of the outward appearance of knowing God. It is a fact of history that much of the persecution against believers has often been led by those who claim to be believers themselves. Much of the persecution. And here in the early days, it was these Jews who certainly considered themselves believers. They were the ones that were persecuting the early church. Later on, as we move on in history, what you find is the established church ends up being the main persecutor of the true followers of Jesus within the society. Whenever people reject the established church and all the politics and everything else that's come into it and say, no, we want to just follow the Lord, we want to follow His word, we want a pure and a simple faith, they were then persecuted. It was the system. It was the church. You've heard about the Inquisition, no doubt. And when people refer to the Inquisition, they generally are implying that the Inquisition is this horrific thing that Christians did to non-Christians. And in the Spanish Inquisition, the Jews did, many of them, suffer severely, and Muslims also suffered under the Spanish Inquisition. But what most people don't realize, or what, if they know, they don't tell you, is that the Inquisition began as a persecution against Bible-believing Christians by the established church. That's what the Inquisition originally was. It was an effort to root out heretics from the church, and heretics were people who believed the Bible and took the Bible literally and wanted to follow Jesus simply without adhering to the Pope or to the powers that be that had established themselves. And the Inquisition was carried on by those who thought they were doing God a favor. But you see, it's, what does it all come down to? It all comes down to this. Jesus said they do this because they don't know me or the Father. And you know, when somebody today says, well, you Christians, you know, you're hypocrites because what about the Crusades and what about the Inquisition and what about all of this stuff? You know, all you have to say is, you know, whatever those people claim to be, we know for sure they weren't Christians, because Christians don't go out and kill people. Christians don't force you to convert or lop off your head. Now, if people did that, and they did, in the name of Christ, you can just know that they were not actual believers in Jesus Christ. Because those who believe in Jesus, they love their enemies. They do good. They bless. They pray. Those are the marks. Now, these things, Jesus says here in verse 4, I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. So he's now giving them this understanding that they had not previously had. Now, he goes on and he says, but now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But now I go away to him who sent me. So here Jesus is going to, he's going to lay it all out before them. Now, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. You see, to these men, the worst possible thing would be for Jesus to go away. What do you mean you're going away? You see, they had the typical, and understandably, they had the typical Jewish perspective of the Messiah. He would come and he would set up an everlasting kingdom. He's the son of David. He's going to sit on the throne of David and he's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever. And now Jesus is talking about going away. What is he talking about going away? And so you can imagine how they would have been confused, to say the least, and grieved and probably also frightened. What do you mean you're going away? We've put all of our trust in you. We put all of our confidence in you. We've left everything behind because you told us to do that. And now you tell us you're going away? But he says here, he says, it's to your advantage that I go away. Now, at this point, they couldn't even conceive of such a thing. How could it possibly be to our advantage that you're going away? But it was because he said, if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. You see, that's the whole thing. Jesus had to go away in order for the Holy Spirit to come. Because the Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus. And as long as Jesus was here performing his ministry, the Holy Spirit would not be poured out. And so he says to them, it's to your advantage. It's necessary I go. Now, again, you know, we could all identify, put ourselves in their shoes, and you could see how this would be so confusing and so troubling. But there are these little words of hope here. There must be something good here. Jesus says it's better. The Helper, he's going to come to you. And remember, again, the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said earlier, I will send you another helper. Remember that Greek word, another, means one of the same kind. So Jesus, really what he's saying with the Holy Spirit, in a sense, this is a way we can understand it. What Jesus is basically promising them through the coming of the Holy Spirit is a multiplication of himself a million times over, however many times he would need to be multiplied to be in the life of each individual believer. But you see, in his present bodily form, of course, that was an impossibility. So he had to go away in order for us today to be filled with the Spirit. But if Jesus had not gone back to the Father, the only people that would be experiencing Jesus are the people that would be sitting around him wherever he happened to be located at the time. But you see, through the ascension and through the coming of the Spirit, it opened the door for all of God's people to have that simultaneous encounter with him through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus goes on here to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to just read it over, and then we're going to come back to it in a later study. But he goes on and he says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. That is such an interesting statement to me. Jesus said, I have so much more to tell you, but you're not ready for it yet. And actually, they would not be ready for it until he went to the cross and until he rose again and until he sent the Spirit. And then they would begin to understand through the Spirit all of the significance, all of the implication in what had occurred in Jesus dying on the cross. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So now he's beginning to really clarify to them. The Holy Spirit is going to take of what is mine. He's going to declare it to you. Again, we'll come back to all of this. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. They don't know what he's talking about. They said, therefore, what is this? A little while. We do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. But the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray to the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. So I think really this is a divine revelation. All of a sudden, you know, they're not getting anything he says, and then suddenly they get it. Now, all the while, of course, they knew in one sense that Jesus had come from the Father, but again, in another sense, it was beyond them. But there's this moment, as Jesus is speaking to them, there's a moment of revelation, and they suddenly get it. You know, that happens to us too. Have you ever had it where you just can't get something? And you're puzzled by it. You're baffled. You just can't understand it. You can't figure it out. And then just suddenly, you get it. You suddenly understand it. I understand this. I have had that happen to me so many times. I've had that happen in the most wonderful ways where, you know, you're reading over a passage of Scripture and I've... You know, you sort of anticipate going into it. It's like, here's this passage again. I better get through it quick because I really don't know what it means. So get on to the next passage that I do know what it means and think about that. And you read through it and all of a sudden you get it. It's that illumination, like Paul prayed for, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, God gives it. That is what happened with these guys. All of a sudden, the lights came on. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and now has come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So all of these things, he's telling them, notice, he's telling them all of this stuff in advance, before it happens. So when it happens, they will remember that he told us this was going to happen, and we take comfort in it, we're encouraged in it, because we know that the Lord knew that this was going to happen, and we know that we can trust him. We can count on him. He's going to get us through it. After all, if he knew it was going to happen, then certainly he knows how to take care of us through it. But verse 33 is such a great word of encouragement, isn't it? "That in me you may have peace. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Our peace is in Jesus. What are we going to have in the world? In the world you'll have tribulation. There's no way around it. It's part of the Christian life. We, through much tribulation, must enter the kingdom of God. But it's okay. Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." And this has been the word that has sustained God's people all throughout the ages. When persecution arises, when difficulties arise, when suffering comes along, to just be able to say, you know, the Lord has overcome the world. And he is going to come again, and he's going to manifest his glory. He's going to manifest his dominion. And so, you know, we're in a win-win situation. We can't lose. We already know what the outcome is. We know the Lord is the victor. And so, even though in the world we have tribulation, we can still be of good cheer. Why? Well, Jesus overcame the world. He's the victor. And we're victorious in him. Now, as I said, we're going to come back to chapter 16 in a few weeks. But I wanted to just get through the end of it because I didn't want to break again in the middle of the conversation. I wanted us to follow all the way through instead of just sort of leaving us hanging as Jesus is communicating this to them. Sometimes it's good just to get the flow all the way through. This is one continual conversation that Jesus was having with these men. And if you break it up too much, you just sort of lose sight of what's actually transpiring. So taking it all the way through. Now, final word. "These things I tell you in advance." I'm letting you know these things, Jesus said, over and over again. I'm telling you so that when it happens, you'll remember. And, you know, as we look around the world today, he's told us in advance where things are going. He's told us in advance what's going to happen. And so rather than sitting around and being filled with anxiety, we talked about this last Sunday morning, you know, rather than sitting around being overcome with worry and fear because, oh, I wonder what's going to happen next. Hey, I'll tell you what's going to happen next if you want to know. We can pretty much, you know, we can calculate it. It's laid out pretty clearly in Scripture. Things are going to get worse before they get better. But be of good cheer. Jesus gives us his peace because he's never rattled. He's not shaken. He's not taken by surprise. It's not that anything in the world is out of his control. He's got it all under control. And as he said, as he, you know, really going back to the very beginning of this conversation, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. You trust God, trust me. You have faith in God, have faith in me." And just keep looking to him, realizing that the world is what it is. It's always going to be in a place of hostility to God. It will not be a world submitted to God until Jesus comes and establishes his kingdom. And so this is the environment that we have to live in. This is the environment that we have to function in. This is the environment that we have to serve the Lord in. But be of good cheer, because He's overcome the world and He's with us. And we overcome too through our faith in Him.
Those are encouraging words by Pastor Brian Broderson, and we do hope you'll take them to heart. And now, as we close out today's program, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled, Be of Good Cheer. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3258. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.